Our scripture reading today is from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 4 through verse 14. If someone thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, friends in Jesus, I am one of the leaders of the church. I am a minister, a pastor, and it's a real privilege for me. One of the things that we leaders of the church talk a lot about is what is the future of the church. And we read the papers and we understand a lot of the statistics, and it is worrisome. We know that in many places, and often in our own place, the church gets smaller, the church gets older, and we wonder, what is the future of the church going to be? Will there be a church in days, years to come? Or will we just slowly wither away and disappear? Well, the news may sometimes sound depressing, but the fact is that there is room for hope. And the basis of that hope is the promise of God. God has said that he loves his church. He says that he will preserve his church, and his church will flourish until the end when Christ returns. Now that church might not continue to look like it does now. Maybe the Lord is going to do things that are going to change his church and going to require us to change with it. That is one of the challenges of the church, to know itself, to know the times, and to know that to which God calls us. Last year, I think it was in August, I had the privilege of attending an event that had a speaker. The speaker was a man named David Kinnaman, and he's, I think, president of the Barna Group. They do surveys. It's a It's a well-known organization. And this man is a devout Christian. And he did research on the church and came to the conclusion, some conclusions about, based on the data, what the church needs to be doing for it to be vibrant and sustainable and effective over the long term. Especially, he asked the question, what does the church need to do in order for members to stay with it, to not fall away, to not fade away, to not drop out, particularly youth and young adults? I was quite convicted by his argument, and I got his book. It's called Faith for Exiles. I was actually very impressed with the book, and over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the conclusions that were found in that book and seeing if they indeed line up with Scripture. Hint, they do. And we're going to be learning about what we need to be and to do in order for us all to be disciples who are in it for the long term, who will have strength to survive, to thrive within the Church of Jesus Christ and in ministry. We read together from the letter to the Philippians, and in that letter, Paul describes himself. And we read in it, and we heard in it, how Paul was a man who had everything together. He was a religious elite. He was a leader in the Jewish community, well-educated, greatly respected. And he knew what he had to do. He had to keep the Jewish community pure by getting rid of people that were bringing false teachings into it. And he said the false teachers are the Christians. So he went on a mission to Damascus to arrest Christians and take them to a religious court in Jerusalem so they could be tried and convicted and punished for their faith. On the way to Damascus, Paul had an experience, an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that changed his life. It turned him around, gave him a new lens, a new understanding, and a new purpose. One of the things that happened was that Paul came to know Christ. Being a person who understood the Old Testament revelation very well, that these things all fit together, and he came to understand how there was a promise, and the fulfillment of that promise was Jesus Christ. And he understood the logic of the gospel and how Jesus answered that, and in that we can have hope. So he knew that. He knew it. And that was so important to him, to have that understanding. If we are going to be long-term disciples, like Paul, we need to know. We need to understand what the Christian faith is. We need to understand the reasons that things came to be. And we need to know the essential facts and truths of Scripture. But you know, that's not enough. Because I know, and probably you know, people that they get it, they understand, they can wax eloquent about the Christian gospel. They can explain all the facts and the reasons for it. But if it is only that knowledge, then you're not going to be in a long-term relationship with the church. It takes more than knowledge. It needs it, but it needs more. Paul went on to say that he, knowing Christ, decided, came to know that it was his responsibility to be like Christ. So he said, okay, you know, and others have said, okay, what does it mean? Well, it means that as Christ had compassion on the world, so we must have compassion. As Christ spoke truth to the world, so we must speak truth to the world. And that's a great thing. If the faith is only in your head, it's only understanding, but it doesn't produce action, say, well, you're not going to go far. But let me say this. If that is all it is, that you understand the way it's supposed to be and how it works, and you are doing these things that are consistent with understanding that, and that also is the end of what it means to be a follower of Christ, you're not going to be in that for the long term either. Because there is a third thing that we need to do, and that is we need together to have our identity be in Christ. The tendency in our day and age and in our society is for us to be defined by our occupation. Who are you? Oh, you're a teacher. I'm an electrician. I'm a laborer. I'm a professor. I'm an accountant. I'm a minister. Whatever it is, that's what we say. That is what we are. But that is a secondary characteristic of who we are. The first and most important thing about who you are is you are a disciple of Jesus. You are a follower of the Lord. You are one who has been brought into the family of God and have that as your primary identity. And it is when we understand things because we are in a relationship with Christ, and we do things because it is just what people like us do, because that is who we are, then we are going to be the kind of people who will be long-term disciples. It's not just in our heads. It's not just in our actions. It's in our guts. It's in our core. It's an identity. It's the most essential thing about who you are. I am a child of God. You are a follower of Jesus. First, foremost, most wonderfully, that's you. That's me. And when we have that identity, then we are transformed. We're not what we were before. The way we were going is not where we were going before. We have had a transformative encounter with Christ that opens our minds and generates our bodies to do all kinds of good things, and it lets us feel the warmth of a powerful relationship with Christ. Now, when we have that, when we are, then there's some things that happen because of it. And I would encourage you, speaking to parents especially, that if we want our kids to be long-term disciples of Jesus, and I know that that's what you want. I know that's what I want. I want my kids and my grandkids to know Christ and to be servants of Him all their days. And if that's going to happen, I need to model that. I need to make my family the kind of place where the Lord is known and celebrated to help my kids to experience that transformational relationship. Make sure that your family goes to God and experiences God together. If you're a couple, go together. If you're a single, find a small group where you can be transformatively impacted by the gospel. Second, I really encourage you to make Jesus the focal point of your life. Why do you go to work? Why do you do the things that you do? It is so that Christ can be revealed in you, so Christ can be glorified in your activities, so that you can say thank you to Him for the privilege you have. But make sure that you understand the role of your Lord in all the activities that you do. And ask the big questions. Seeking out the wisdom of God, ask God to help you understand who you are in Christ. Ask God to give you direction about how you should be living. Ask Him to say, what should my relationships be like? What is the purpose of my life, Lord? And what should my legacy be? When people talk about me, when they reflect on whatever it is I did in my life, I want them to say, whatever it was, He knew Jesus. And He followed Him. If we want to be people who are in the church and serving the Lord for the long term, we need to have had that transformational relationship with God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pray for it. And may indeed you know that power and be given the grace to serve for the long haul. Amen.